Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 18. Diti vows to kill King Indra. Text 43. Pratishrutam dadamiti vachas tan na mrisha bhavet vadham narhati chandra pi tatredam upakalpate. Pratishrutam dadamiti vachastanam rishabhavet vadham narhati chandropi tatredam upakalpate. Pratishrutam dadamiti vachastanam rishabhavet vadham narhati chandropi tatredam upakalpate. Pratishrutam dadamiti vachastanam rishabhavet vadham narhati chandropi tatredam upakalpate. Pratishrutam promised dadami, I shall give iti, thus vacha statement. Tat, that, na, not, mrisha, false, bhavet, can be, vadham, killing, na, not, arhati, is suitable, cha, and, indra, indra, api, also, tatra, in that connection, idam, this, upakalpate, is suitable. Translation. This is Kasyapa speaking to himself, really. I promise to give her a benediction, and this promise cannot be violated. But Indra does not deserve to be killed. In these circumstances, the solution I have is quite suitable. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Kashyapa Muni concluded, Diti is eager to have a son who can kill Indra, since she is a woman after all and is not very intelligent. I shall train her in such a way that instead of always thinking of how to kill Indra, she will become a Vaishnav, a devotee of Krishna. If she agrees to follow the rules and regulations of the Vaishnav principles, the unclean core of her heart will certainly be cleansed. Ceto darpana marjana. This is the process of devotional service. Anyone could be purified by following the principles of devotional service in Krishna consciousness. For Krishna consciousness is so powerful that it can purify even the dirtiest class of men and transform them into the topmost Vaishnavas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement aims at this purpose. Narottam Das Thakur says, Vrajendra Nandana Ye Shachi Suta Haila Se Balaram Haila Nitai Dinahina Yata Chila Hariname Udarila Tarasakshi Jagai Madhai. The appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this Kali Yuga is especially meant to deliver the fallen souls who are always planning something for material enjoyment. He gave the people of this age the advantage of being able to chant the Hare Krishna mantra and thus become fully pure, free from all material contamination. Once one becomes a pure Vaishnav, he transcends all material conceptions of life. Thus, Kasyapa Muni tried to transform his wife into a Vaishnavi so that she might give up the idea of killing Indra. He wanted both her and her sons to be purified so that they would be fit to become pure Vaishnavs. Of course, sometimes a practitioner deviates from the Vaishnava principles, and there is a chance that he may fall down. But Kasyapa Muni thought that even if one falls while practicing the Vaishnava principles, he is still not a loser. Even a fallen Vaishnava is eligible for better results, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bayat. Even practicing the Vaishnav principles to a small extent can save one from the greatest danger of material existence. Thus, Kasyapa Muni planned to instruct his wife Diti to become a Vaishnav, because he wanted to save the life of Indra. Pratishrutam dadamiti vachastannam risha bhavet vadam narhati chendropi tatredam upakalpate. I promised to give her a benediction, and this promise cannot be violated. But Indra does not deserve to be killed. In these circumstances, the solution I have is quite suitable. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadi Jatarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So, for those who may not have been following the sequence of the verses, the story of this chapter, What has happened is that in order to protect Lord Indra and on the appeal of Lord Indra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has killed Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And when that happened, then Diti, the mother of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu and many other daitya demons, people of very questionable character, particularly in spiritual terms. So the Supreme Lord killed particularly those two, and their mother, Diti, became extremely disturbed, not really considering that they're demons and they just had created chaos in the universe and were going to create so much more, and this is all very unfortunate and very undesirable in the universe, and that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is really just trying to help. And even Indra, in this case at least, was trying to help the situation for the benefit of the people at large and the proper functioning of the universe. So Diti, she was not able really to consider these particular aspects of the situation, and she just became angry that he killed my children, and that's the Lord, and that he, Indra, he was responsible. It was his fault. So she wanted revenge. She really wanted revenge. And as was explained over the last some number of verses, she didn't really feel, or she didn't really know how to get revenge. She didn't perhaps really feel that she was capable of taking direct action, but she knew that her husband Kasyapa, that he is extremely powerful. He is very, very powerful. So if I get his blessings behind this project, this idea that Indra must be killed, then Indra can be killed. Indra could perhaps quite easily be killed even. It wouldn't be very difficult. So how to do that? We must get the blessings. I must get the blessings of my husband, Kasyapa. So what she did, she went out of her way to serve him and satisfy him and just do everything for her husband, which is very nice, you know, for a lady, service to the respectable husband, that's a very essential part of being a qualified lady, a qualified married lady. But she just went out of her way to the point that Kasyapa, it appears he became a little overwhelmed by that, and therefore at some point he expressed his appreciation to her. Well, if you read through those verses, you'll see that he became a bit bewildered by the association of his wife, and he glorified her, and he glorified what she had been doing, and he told her that, "I'm so pleased with you. You just ask me for something, anything, whatever you like. You just ask me, it's yours." And that, of course, was what she was waiting for. That was what she wanted. And so she said, "Very good. Let me have a son who can kill Indra." And that for Kasyapa was, as they say, a bit of a wake-up call. He realized, oops, I sort of lost my intelligence here because that is not right. It is not right that Indra be killed. And, you know, the fact that she wants that, it just shows her disqualification. But now I've allowed myself to be caught in a trap. Sometimes it happens to devotees even. Devotees make a mistake, usually not this bad a mistake, but sometimes devotees make a mistake and then they realize, "Oh, I made a mistake." And they think, "How did I do that? How could I have done that? What happened to me?" And that's what happened to Kasyapa. But it was too late. He couldn't really tell his wife that, "Look, you know, I said I would give you whatever you want, but not this. Ask for something else." He had to do it. But here now, it's the beginning of the description of what he did do. Kasyapa Muni, he is a very special personality. He's not just some ordinary personality at all. And he's extremely intelligent. So even though on one level he was lamenting, "Why did I promise to give her whatever she wants and put myself in this situation?" But on the other hand, he understood that there are ways to fulfill her desire, but in such ways that her heart will be changed, and so she will change her mind. And even though it's just her motivation, her desire, let Indra die. But how to do that? Empower her to have a child who could kill Indra, but in due course, through the process for fulfilling that desire, the desire will be changed. Or lost. She'll give up that desire. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Shishi Radha Shyam Sundar Shishi Gornitai Ki Jai. So this is his plan. And that's what he's saying here. That in these circumstances, that my wife, because of her lower nature and being just overpowered by envy and the desire for revenge, that under these circumstances, I have a solution which will not contradict her desire, will not go against it. I will not be breaking my promise, but it will change the whole situation by changing her. And when she becomes changed, then she'll no longer want Indra to be killed. And anyway, You'll read on over the next so many days and see how it all works out. And it works out like that. And that is the nature of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada in the purport here is emphasizing this point that Krishna consciousness is so powerful, and not just so powerful, but it's so wonderful. So wonderful, sublime in its powerfulness that it changes the hearts of people, even people whose hearts are in very bad conditions, just as bad as they could be. But Krishna consciousness is so wonderfully powerful, it can change the hearts even of people like that and turn them into just soft-hearted, gentle, kind, merciful, tolerant, patient, and like that, devotees. Even people who are just hopeless. And therefore Srila Prabhupada in the purport here, he quotes the famous verse from Srila Narottam Das Thakur, Vrajendra Nandana Ye Sachi Suta Haila Se Balaram Haila Nitai, that Lord Krishna has come as Lord Chaitanya and Lord Balaram has come as Lord Nityananda, and Dinahina Yatachila Harinama Udarila, they just gave the chanting of the holy names to everybody and anybody, even the Dina, the fallen, and even you could say sort of the super Dina, if you could put it that way, the most Dina of the Dina, the most fallen, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram as Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they just gave everybody the chanting of the holy names, and in this way they delivered everybody, and Tarasakshi Jagai Madai, the proof of this, and just how totally effective it was and is, the proof is Jagai Madai. We're all familiar with the story of Jagai and Madai. And they were, arguably, they were actually the most fallen. Prabhupada's point here is that even some person or persons who happen to actually be the most fallen can be completely delivered and turned into pure Vaishnavas and just, you know, like superlative pure personalities through the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. So, yeah, even the most fallen, sometimes devotees say that they are the most fallen. Sometimes devotees feel particularly sort of embarrassed by their material desires and their material conditioning and so on, and some mood of humility comes and they express themselves like that I'm the most fallen. But to actually be the most fallen, that is not easy. And therefore the example is given, Tarasakshi Jagai Madai, because arguably they were actually the most fallen, full stop, just end. One time a devotee approached Srila Prabhupada, and the devotee was feeling like that sort of very lowly and struggling with his own nature. And the devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, I am the most fallen." And Srila Prabhupada said, "Actually, you are not the most anything. You are simply insignificant." Meaning, to be the most fallen, well, you have to be someone like Jagai or Madai or someone really extreme. Generally, our backgrounds are sort of average fallen. Yeah. Average fallen. 50-50 fallen. Or something along those lines. Of course, there are variations. But the thing is, Prabhupada's emphasizing here, it's so nice. And it's so relevant here under these circumstances because Diti, she was in this terrible state of consciousness. She was just in a terrible state of consciousness, like a vicious, really aggressive, vicious type of consciousness of revenge, destruction of those who have offended me. So Kasyapa then, being so intelligent, he has figured out a program so that even someone who's in the state of mind of Diti, this horrific state of mind practically, in the process of coming to the point of getting what they want, will become cured of the desire for what they want. Yeah, this is the thing. This is the nature of Krishna consciousness. There is no one too fallen. There is no one too fallen who could offer, like, as a valid excuse, "I cannot become Krishna conscious because I am too fallen, so I will give up." No one can say that. No one can say that. Krishna consciousness is so amazing. And as you'll see, at the end, I don't know, this is in sort of the current American jargon, they would say, this is a spoiler, how it's going to work out in the end. That in the end, she gives birth to such a person. But, you know, it's a long story. That person becomes a friend of Indra, and she becomes very happy with Indra. Yeah, when she gives birth to the same person, I mean, it's a long story, I won't go into the details, but the same person who she made such an effort to give birth to and make sure that he can kill Indra, but he becomes a friend of Indra, and she's happy about it in the end. This is Krishna consciousness. Bhagavatam has all these different narrations of special situations. Special situations with special people. And through these situations and these people, the unique nature of Krishna consciousness is shown in different ways, under different circumstances, different situations, different aspects of Krishna consciousness, like the story of Ajamil, how he was delivered even by not very good chanting of the holy names. He ultimately went back to Godhead. And you know the story of Prahlad Maharaj, even if there's some demon who's determined to kill you, and even if he's a demon on the level of Hiranyakashipu, But if you're Krishna conscious, by the grace of the Lord, you'll be delivered. So this again, here, this particular narration in Srimad Bhagavatam is bringing out a related point. That even when someone is in like a totally envious and nasty state of mind, fixed, but through Krishna consciousness, even somewhat indirect Krishna consciousness, they can become cured of that and become very nice. And this is basically what happens here. So this is Krishna consciousness. And we see there's a similar situation, related, quite a related situation. In the fourth canto is the story of Dhruva Maharaj. He also had powerful material desire. You know, Diti's desire, of course, is very material. So Prahlad Maharaj, he also had powerful material desires. And he met Narada Muni in the forest. And he asked Narada Muni, he told, you know, this is my situation, this is my desire, can you help me fulfill it? And Narada Muni saw, he's just a little boy. He's just a little boy. He's sort of like a preschool child, more or less. Yet he wants to do this special program for getting empowered to get a bigger kingdom than his father's or even his grandfather's. Narada Muni thought, this is not the right thing for him. And Dhruva told him, you know, I'm looking for God. You got to help me find God. And Narada told him, listen, God is everywhere. He's in the palace also. Why don't you go home to your palace and find God in the palace? Here, what are you going to eat here? Some leaves? You know, you haven't even done a forest survival course. How will you know what to eat? You may poison yourself. Go back to the palace, find God there, and have nice sabji and puri and halava at the same time, and there you go, and your desire will be fulfilled. And Dhruva told him, listen, you're not going to help me? If you're not going to help me, go away. Leave me alone. Just go. And Narada understood that I've got to try a different approach. So he tried basically at least a similar type of approach here. Give him a process which will fulfill his desire, but with the element of Krishna consciousness in it, in such a way that when he becomes advanced and he achieves the goal, his heart will have changed. And he won't be bothered, he won't be interested at all in the kingdom any longer. And that's what happened. And it's sort of the similar, very, very similar situation as to here. Another example which comes to mind, it's not exactly in the Bhagavatam as such, but it's the story of Valmiki, the compiler of Ramayana. He was an extremely bad person and a very vicious, violent person, but by the association of Narada Muni, actually. Of Narada Muni, his mind became changed. And he gave up his sinful ways, and he wanted to take up a good program of activity in life. So what to do? What should I do? He asked Narada Muni. Narada told him, you should chant the names of the Lord. Okay. Give me some name of the Lord to chant. But because he was so sinful, you know, the effect of sinful desire, the effect of sinful activity, which of course is inextricably linked with sinful desire, the effect of these things, if they're there in the heart of a person, at one effect is, one of many, is they make it difficult for the person just to utter the name of the Lord. Like when Lord Chaitanya met Prakashananda Saraswati, Lord Chaitanya's name was Krishna Chaitanya. Prakashananda Saraswati could only call him Chaitanya. He couldn't call him Krishna. He couldn't utter Krishna. Couldn't get the word out of his mouth. Because, you know, his just sort of, his makeup wouldn't allow him. Yeah, so Valmiki. Narada Muni again thought very quickly what to do. Aha. He gave him the name Mara, means death. And Valmiki, of course, was very attracted to that. Yeah, sounds good. I can get into that. And he started chanting Mara, 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 which of course is Rama around the other way. And in due course, his heart became purified and he became the great Vedic authority, Valmiki, and compiled Ramayana prior to the appearance of Lord Ram. It was already existing when Lord Ram appeared, and he was still living. So these are different examples of the principle which is involved here, which Kasyapa, in his intelligence, is invoking. How to give people Krishna consciousness, but in such a way that they don't, I mean, in these cases, the cases we've mentioned even perhaps, like Dhruva and here, that they don't even really think they're getting Krishna consciousness. Or perhaps in terms which are relevant to us in our attempts to preach, that we can give people Krishna consciousness in such ways that, taking into consideration their conditioned natures and so on and so forth, that they don't feel we're just being dogmatic and just pushing it down their throats, and, you know, like we've got blinkers on, but in ways which they're going to feel a sort of tasteful and relevant to themselves. I remember when I was a new devotee. Well, I'm still a new devotee, but anyway, I had recently moved into the temple. We had one devotee, and he was into preaching to guests and to other devotees. But he had sort of like a mantra in his preaching. His mantra was, just chant Hare Krishna. So whatever the question put to him was, the answer was, just chant Hare Krishna. You know, even something like, what time is prasadam? Just chant Hare Krishna. Who's giving Srimad Bhagavatam class? Just chant Hare Krishna. It was like with a record, the needle got stuck. And of course, it's true. It's not, you can't say it's wrong or it's bad or in a certain sense. But if we're actually going to present Krishna consciousness effectively and influence people as much as it would be nice to influence them, then we also have to think. We have to think. Part of Krishna consciousness is to engage the senses, the mind, and also the intelligence. We have to think. how to present Krishna consciousness in such ways that it will work and the people will become Krishna conscious and feel happy about it. Not just like I had to become Krishna conscious. I was ordered to become Krishna conscious. So anyway, the whole thing is going to... It's a whole strategy. He has a whole strategy, actually, for giving her a process which will give her the power and which will give her a son who can kill Indra. But in the meantime, she becomes Krishna conscious. So when the time comes eventually, she doesn't want to kill, doesn't want Indra to be killed. This is Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada's emphasizing here, and it's really such an important point, that Krishna consciousness is so powerful that it actually doesn't matter how fallen or degraded or hopeless or impossible a person is. But if they're given Krishna consciousness nicely, they can become pure Vaishnavas. Yeah. You know, we see in our, say, in the broader Gaudiya or the broader Vaishnav world, the four sampradayas, that some of the sampradayas, they're sort of maybe slightly begrudgingly willing to accept people from Western backgrounds or Western backgrounds as some sorts of Vaishnavs, you know, yeah. Almost like honorary Vaishnavs. Not exactly the real thing, but, you know, we'll give them a chance. And then others, even amongst the Gaudiya Vaishnavs, like the Babaji's or certain schools, there are many different schools, but some of them, they think, yes, Westerners can become Vaishnavs. Certainly, why not? They can become real Vaishnavs, but they can't initiate people. Yeah, only people who are born in the tradition as Brahmins, Brahmin Vaishnavas. Only they can give initiation. So these nice, you know, Western Vaishnavas, in their next lives, no problem. No problem. Just in their next lives they can give initiation if they take birth in the right ways. So, you know, these things even kind of infiltrate into the mission of Lord Chaitanya. But Prabhupada was practically the only person for whom it was clear that actually anyone can become not just a Vaishnav, but a pure Vaishnav. If they receive Krishna consciousness properly, if they apply it properly, like that, they can become pure Vaishnavas. So, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. I see His Holiness Badri Narayan Maharaj is here with us. I didn't notice until a few minutes ago. Hare Krishna Maharaj. We have another microphone here. Any words of wisdom you'd care to bless us with, please? Oh, whatever you like.
Thank you for the excellent testimony. Well, as you were saying, you know, there's Bhagavan is full of special circumstances for special people, and then you said, you know, we're not the most anything, we're the most insignificant, everyone probably saying something like that. Well, then, you know, if I can't go this way to becoming the best or the most surrendering, most exalted, then should I just go the way of trying to become more fallen and then I'll get some mercy?
I say,
I'm not going to be able to go up, so going down I have potential.
Yeah, we've got good potential for that. I mean, and we've tried our best. We could try harder. We could try harder, get a few tips from Jagai and Madai. Okay. No, well, the thing is this. I mean, it's a very important point, but it's the same point, really, is that whatever we may have been prior to getting the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, whatever we may have been, you know, most fallen, perhaps, 90%, 80, 70, 60, 50, you know, whatever. We were somewhere down there. So the thing is that whatever our situation was, once we get the mercy of someone like Srila Prabhupada, once we get the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, and we get into the association of his sincere followers and engaged nicely in the process of devotional service, then the possibility is there to actually become, as Prabhupada says a few times in the purport, an actual pure Vaishnav, go back to Godhead, you know, qualified or able to go back to Godhead. You may recall Mother Malati told us how she asked Prabhupada that you've said that if we just chant 16 rounds and follow the regulative principles, we will go back to Godhead. But Prabhupada, it sounds too easy, it sounds too simple. Is it really that simple? And as I recall, Prabhupada gave her one of his looks. And Prabhupada said, do you think that I would cheat you? So it is possible that at the end of this life, for anyone from any background to go back to Godhead. And seeing, anyway, so we should take that approach. That's, yes, rather than try to be more fallen, try and get more of Prabhupada's mercy. Because you must bear in mind, to become the most fallen, that is not easy. That is, I mean, you could try your best like Maharaj Vaina, but he couldn't come to that level. Thank you, Maharaj. Radharaman Maharaj. Microphone?
In this particular situation, did this consider directly to the vibration? How come that peacefulness in this world is similar?
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yes. That's a fair question. That's discussed in the earlier part of the chapter, because Indra asked Vishnu to do it and appealed to him to do it. And because Indra appealed, therefore Vishnu did it. Therefore she held Indra responsible. Because of your request, you know, it's like employing someone to kill another person. I'll give you $10,000, kill this person. Yeah. That's what's discussed in the beginning of this chapter. There's a verse which explains that because Vishnu had done it on the request of Indra. Therefore, Diti was angry with Indra. Maybe it was a different kalpa, perhaps. But that's the explanation given here. Dear Ashanta Maharaj, do you want to say something? No? Okay, just one more. I think he means they're not very intelligent. I thought about that. I think so many of us have thought about that. And at least one thing, possibility, at least idea which has come to my mind, and I've heard others mention it, is that sometimes or however often or whenever it is, women are prone to think more emotionally than sort of intellectually or in a sort of discriminatory way, really evaluating in terms of actual value. And like this here, Diti is thinking like that. I actually mentioned at the beginning, she didn't think these two were demons. They were creating, they'd already created havoc. They were going to create more. And for the sake of the universe, it's best they were killed. She didn't think like that. She just thought, they are my sons. You know? Therefore, I'm upset. That's it. Yeah. That's how Prabhupada applies it here in this particular situation. Yeah. And it's Chanakya Pandit, right? Says, never trust a woman or a politician. Something like that. And when you look at the situation in America now, I think you can understand why we should never trust politicians. Maybe with Narendra Bhai and the 500 and 1,000 rupee notes, maybe that's another example. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.